Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. Again, we're talking to Dr. Steve Wellum about his Systematic Theology, Volume 1. He has kindly been giving us the time to walk us through it, each chapter by chapter, and actually it's been a couple of interviews per chapter, so you're getting the bite-size tour through the book. And I just want to mention again what an outstanding book this is. If you folks haven't purchased it yet, you really want to. You're getting the bite-sized version here. You want to get the fuller treatment. It's just an outstanding systematic theology. It will increase your understanding of biblical teaching by quantum leaps. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Yeah, no, great to have back. And thank you, Fred, and glad to do this.
All right. We have been talking about God's revelation. We talked about natural revelation, then special revelation. Last time we spoke of the doctrine of inspiration in particular, which underlines the truth that we have been emphasizing, that scripture is God's word written. And the doctrine of inspiration tells us how that came about, God's word through human authors. So now we come to chapter 10, where we have the doctrine of infallibility and inerrancy. Now, before we get into definitions of those terms and distinguishing between them and all of that, I'd like to underline something that we've mentioned previously, probably a couple of times. Explain for us why inerrancy is a given once we have acknowledged the scripture's inspiration.
Yeah, no, I do think that it's best to see inerrancy coming from our doctrine of inspiration. So it's not the other way around. Sometimes our discussions of inerrancy almost put it first and say, well, we talk about inerrancy, but what's grounding it and what's the basis of it is the inspiration of Scripture. So if, as our understanding of inspiration from Scripture, is that God has spoken in and through the human authors by the agency of the Spirit, he's carried them along so that what those human authors write is exactly what God wants written, right? That's his communication to us. Then, of course, you cannot separate the human author's writings from God's speech, God's revelation, God's authoritative word. And of course, now you're back to your doctrine of God. So if God is the one who knows all things and plans all things, is the source and standard of truth, and he is now in and through those authors able to carry them along so that he can guarantee that it's his word written, then to think of it as fallible or having errors or making mistakes, you would have to eventually say one of two things. You'd have to say either God is making mistakes and God doesn't know what he's revealing through those authors, or, and this gets back to the divine sovereignty, human freedom relationship, God is not able to keep those authors in what they write from mistakes. And so that it's just human writings, that it may have sort of a witness to divine revelation, sort of as Karl Barth would say, but it's not actually the word of God. So what the Bible says is not actually what God says, and what God says is not actually what Scripture says. So if we understand inspiration correctly, then you have to have from that, this is God's word. And as God's word, then it's from the God who is the God of Scripture, the God who gave it, which is the God who knows all things, plans all things, who's the source and standard of truth. So the Bible then has to be true because it's his revelation.